Last Sunday, we talked about praise and worship, and I used a Psalm 100, in regards to referring to pursuing God's presence. One of the ways we do that is in praise and worship, and I wanted to kind of recap it. I want to see if you kind of learned anything from last week, and so I'm going to put Psalm 100 up. I'll come back to that one in a moment, but Psalm 100, verse 1, and I want you to help me out. In fact, I tell you what, so much so, why don't you read it to me? Are you ready? Try to hang together. All right, here we go. Verse 1, shout. Yeah. Amen. Enter courts with praise. Amen. The Lord is good. I think it's important for us as we read God's word together. Church, not only reading it now, implement it. Put it into action. His word is like a sharp two-edged sword. It is active. Amen? So, last week we talked about this pursuing of God, but today I want to talk about a walk with God, still pursuing His presence. I want to talk about walking with Him, but far too many people live their life carelessly, not giving any thought or not even much thought about a relationship with God. But everybody, I believe, needs a walk with God. Amen? And to have that walk, it is essential for you to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because apart from Christ, there is no walk with God. And anyone who may not have that relationship this morning, I urge you, I implore you, put your trust in Jesus this very day. He is ready to forgive you, walk with you, and receive you as His child. But to everyone who is already walking with the Lord, I urge you today, listen. I want you to make the most of your walk. I do not want you to become a careless Christian who lives day by day with no thought of a deeper walk with Christ. I don't want you settling for the I know nothing, I feel nothing, I desire nothing. Church, I want to know Christ more. I want to feel His presence in my life. I desire for Him to work in me. I desire to be closer to Him. And today I want to take you to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 this morning. This very first psalm has a plea for a deeper, more solid, more productive walk with God. In fact, the person who has a close walk with God is called blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed. And I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But how can we make the most of our walk with God? And how can we live to be blessed? We need to look carefully, I believe, in three directions and ask three questions. Here are the directions. First, I want you to look around. I want you to look inside. And I want you to look ahead. And we're going to talk about those. What would the questions be? How are you being influenced? What are you becoming? And how will you be judged? Let's go to Psalm 1. This morning I'm reading out of the New King James. And here's how it reads in verse 1. Blessed is the man, and I believe that could be woman or man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways, or the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Heavenly Father, only you can bring revelation to your word. It's powerful. The Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us today what you desire for us to have? And speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. First, one of the directions we need to look is look around. And the question, how are you being influenced? I want you to hear verse 1 and 2 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There are only two possible ways that we can be influenced. Either we are influenced with godly influence or with ungodly influence. It's really pretty simple. And we need to look around and ask ourselves the question, how are we being influenced? Like it or not, we are being surrounded by all kinds of influence. But the question is, what are you allowing to influence you? What is shaping you? What is molding your life? Let me talk to you a moment about ungodly influence. Interesting enough, you don't have to teach kids to be bad. You don't have to teach that. Unfortunately, sin is just a part of our natural being. In fact, Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of sin, there is a danger in separating ourselves from God. In fact, even more so when the judgment of God comes. But thanks be to God, through Christ his Son, he rescued us. And he's willing to allow us to be his children, his heirs. But while we're here on this earth, we have to be aware and beware of ungodly influences, because they try to impact our lives and draw us away or lead us astray from God. I want you to see the stages of ungodliness in this passage in Psalm 1. Stage 1 is, it starts off and says, they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walks. This speaks of direction. Where are you heading? Where are you going? And we need to be careful that we do not walk into the wicked and ungodly counsel that is out there. I'm telling you, church, you need to be careful where you walk. There are some folks that start each day by reading their horoscope. I have to tell you the truth this morning. That is ungodly counsel. I know a few of you go, yeah, yeah. There's others like, well, it's just for fun. It's ungodly. If you do not understand the root of where it's coming from and you're looking for your source of hope for the day, you have missed it. Some folks listen to talk shows, and that's where they get their counsel on how to do their lives and their everyday situations. It's not healthy, church. Some folks buy magazines and they read the ungodly counsel. It's not worth the paper that has been printed on. Say, Pastor, you're being hard. I'm being honest with you. They're influential out there. We need to be careful what direction we go in. When we go in direction of worldly wisdom, we will be under ungodly influence. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to the next stage. Stage 2 is stands in the path of sinners. You see, after we go in the direction of walking and seeking the advice of the ungodly, we move from consulting the ungodly to identifying with the ungodly. You're now standing with them. That's when you're no longer opposing their viewpoint, but now you're embracing what they say. You're standing where they stand, and you're identifying with their position. Church, There is only one position that's worth having, and that's a position with God. There's only one viewpoint that's worth having, and that's God's viewpoint of His grace for our lives that we need to walk in. Everything else is trash. Amen. Church, somewhere we've got to begin to identify these things. So don't ever stand in the path of sinners. Number three says they sit in the seat of the scornful. Sitting, of course, speaks of a resting place. This is when we land on a position that we feel comfortable with. Did you catch it? We first kind of walk around some ungodly counsel, and then we begin standing around the ungodly counsel. And finally, if we're not careful, we adopt it for our very own, and then we take a seat. And we sit in the seat of the scornful. You sit among scoffers and mockers, those who totally disrespect the things of God. And those who sit with them find it easy to embrace ungodliness and begin to scoff and to mock at the things that are holy and godly. Church, we need to look around us. And then we got to ask the question, how are we being influenced? Television, unfortunately, has turned this nation into a nation of scoffers. Now, I go back to the old TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, and I was thinking of the other one. I know My Three Sons, but there's another one I'm thinking, The Mom. It's named after her. Donna Reed show. And there was some health in some of that, but we have come all the way to Bart Simpson, today. Scoffing and mocking at the things of God and the things of people, and even making fun of parents. Church, you need to be careful of these things. You wonder why your kids are like they are? What do you think they're being influenced by? He's meddling. You say, oh, TV doesn't influence me. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But let me tell you something I do know. They spend millions and millions of dollars on advertisement. Why? Because advertising has influence on what kind of cereal you eat. It has influence on what kind of toothpaste you buy. It has influence on the car that you drive. Believe it or not, you are influenced by what's on TV. So look around. How are you being influenced? Now, in verse 2 gives us a different perspective. It talks about godly influence. In fact, it says the blessed man, the person who is pursuing his walk with God, surrounds himself with godly influence. And he does it by his delight is in the law of the Lord. How do you delight in the law of the Lord or in God's word? King David put it this way in a psalm, Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is one of the ways we begin to delight. I take his word and put it inside of me. First Peter writes to us, and he puts it this way in the New Testament. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Church, when do we ever leave being a babe under the Lord? I mean, has anybody ever really become mature in God? I really have to ask that of myself. I'm like, I'm growing, I'm learning, but I'm just a baby when it comes to the things of God. Last night I stood out and I stared at the sky for a little bit. I'm just like, I don't even get it. I have no idea. We're on the edge of our galaxy, and our galaxy sits among this universe. I don't even get it. But I need to continue to crave the pure spiritual milk so I can grow up. Not that I'll ever achieve, but that I'm heading there. Your appetite for the Lord and His Word, if you're not careful, can become dull because you taste too much of this world. I have to be honest with you. The world tastes pretty good, church. But the problem is it's just a season. It's just a taste. The problem is after you swallow it, It infects your whole body and your whole lifestyle. Oh, you go, but it tastes so good, and people keep consuming it. But church, God's word, to many people, it even might even have a bitter taste. But the psalmist said, boy, the more you take of it, it's like honey. And like honey from the honeycomb, you need to keep consuming it. We need to get back into God's word, hide it in our hearts, and allow his word to speak to us daily. Pray, ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to hunger for your word. If we are ever to be exposed to godly counsel and influence, it has to come from God's word. Number two, it tells us that in his law, he meditates day and night. Did you know it's not enough just to read from the Bible? But we need to let God's word get into our thinking. Let it reshape our thoughts so I can have the mind of Christ. Listen to Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm talking about more than just casual reading of his word. God's word is a truth that has to be put into or implemented into our lives. I personally still think it's good to memorize scripture. Somehow, Sunday school, we got out of it, and kids, and we were in classes, and we were learning it. And when did we outgrow memorizing? Church, we need to become deeply familiar with God's word again. Put it into your life. How can we stay clean in the world that desires to influence you in the wrong way? You need to meditate on his word. Psalm 119, verse 9 says this. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Young people, here, wherever you're sitting, get God's word into you. Live by it. And you will stay pure in this world. I'm not telling you won't have the other influences. I'm telling you, if you'll let this be your first influence, it will protect you. But for all of us today, we may need to meditate on Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And do not forget my words or turn away from them. You want to be blessed? You want to walk with God? We need to stay close to his word. My second thought this morning is not only look around, but look inside. Look inside. What are you becoming? Psalm 1 tells us in verse 3 that those who are walking the godly way, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How are you being influenced? How we are influenced will reflect our character. Look inside your heart. Look inside where you really are living and ask yourself, what kind of person am I becoming? The person who delights in God's word and meditates, the Bible says, will become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is where you're refreshed. This is where you're nourished. And three things happen because you're planted by the river. Number one is it tells you you'll be fruitful, brings forth its fruit in its season. Did you know you can be a fruitful person? Producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's an illustration that I cannot get out of my heart, my mind, that if we are a tree and we are planted by the water and we are to bear fruit, the fruit is not for the tree. The fruit's for everybody else. I'm bearing patience. Why did you pick my patience? Because I'm bearing it. Why? Because I draw upon the river of God and I just keep bearing patience. I bear love. I bear joy. I bear kindness. I bear goodness. Church, We're the tree. We're bearing it because we're drawing upon the Spirit of God who is pouring through us for everybody else. I think some of you go, look at me, look how beautiful all my fruit is. There's others going, I ain't got no fruit. Keep bearing. Keep pouring it out, church. Not only will we be fruitful, but we can be durable, lasting. It says the leaf also shall not wither. Even though hot winds may blow and the rain may not fall, the person who is planted by the river, he is planted in the Word of God and he's able to endure everything. God's Word always allows us to stand strong. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He helps us to be durable. Number three, prosperous. Says whatever he does shall prosper. If you delight in God's word, you meditate on his word, you will become like a tree and you will prosper. Now, I'm not talking about monetary gain. That could be part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, I want you to hear Psalm 73 this morning, a few verses. Verse 3 says, "For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Verse 12, he continues to write, "This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth." I know it looks like wicked people are gaining everything and have everything. They look filthy rich. But I don't want you to miss what the writer says in verse 17. Keep reading. "Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny." God gave this writer some insight, basically saying, you might see them prosper, but you have not seen the end of their wickedness. In Psalm 1, verse 4, he says, "The ungodly are not so, and are like the chaff which the wind drives away." The end of the wicked is not a good end, church. And that's why we need to look inside and ask, what are we becoming? I want to prosper in the goodness of God. Are you like a tree? Have you been planted? Or are you like the chaff that's just going to be blown away? Listen, you might fool people for a season while here on earth, but what's truly on the inside will be revealed in time because God knows your heart. And that's why, lastly, we need to look ahead. How will you be judged? Verse 5 and 6 speaks of this. I know in preaching I love to speak about the love of God. It's incredible. You want to tell everybody God loves you. But many don't want to talk about the judgment. They don't want to bring it up. It sounds too harsh. But I'm going to let you know, church, there is a judgment day coming. I don't know if I want to hear this. Just go back to that love of God stuff. I like that fruit stuff. There's a judgment coming, church. The question is, will you be judged among the ungodly? Listen to verse 5 of Psalm 1. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." When the ungodly are judged, they will have no excuse that will allow them to stand. They cannot stand on their own self-righteousness. They cannot stand on their own works. The second part of the verse tells us that in heaven, there's only going to be one congregation. It's a congregation of the righteous. And there will be no sinners in that congregation. Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. There is going to be one pure, holy, godly congregation. And it will be the congregation of the redeemed. It will be the congregation of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We need to look ahead, church, and ask, how are we going to be judged? Verse 6 of that same passage, Psalm 1, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." See, God knows his own people. He knows our way, and it's by way of the cross that we enter into that congregation. The only way of repentance and the only way of faith, the only way of grace is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. You say, Pastor, it's kind of narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the only way. Don't fall prey to all the beliefs, all the things that are being said. The ungodly think, oh, we'll have it our way, the way of do it as you please, our self-works, our self-righteousness. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus tells us in John 14:6, he answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Say, Pastor, you're making it kind of hard. You're making it kind of like a narrow path. It is a narrow path, church. Broad is the way to destruction, but narrow. And church, I want to wake us up to pursuing God, pursuing His presence. We need to make the most of our walk with God. And it begins with godly influences. And godly influences will result in what we will become on the inside. And godly character begins to produce itself so that we can stand with Him one day. There's a quote I want to quote for you this morning from Charles Reed. Let me read it very slowly to you. Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Now, I can look at this either in a positive light or a negative light. It is so important because your destiny will be determined not by chances, but by choices. The choice, you need to change your thoughts. Instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, what if we walked in the counsel of God's Word? Instead of standing in the presence of sinners, what if all of a sudden we begin to stand in God's presence more? In fact, He says, my presence goes with you. What if all of a sudden, instead of sitting in the seat of mockers, we find the resting place, the peace of God, and all of a sudden, out of the abundance of our hearts, we begin to speak the Word of God. Somewhere, church, we need to look around. What is influencing your life? Look inside. What are you really becoming? And then look ahead. What judgment will you stand in? I want you to choose to walk with God and pursue His presence. This morning, Pastor Matt, would you come? Church, I'm just going to speak to you from my heart for a moment. We're in a challenge in our own home as we walk this path. Last night, we were sitting watching a show, and the question came up and said, how, if we were watching this and the congregation was sitting with us, how would we feel? And we're evaluating because I think it's important to see what are we becoming. As much good as there may be out there, it's so much, it just seems to be overwhelmed by all the bad. Church, you're supposed to be called out once. We're not to be of the world, though we're in it. We're to be different. And in this different walk, somewhere we've got to make a decision that I'm not just playing a game. I'm not just coming to church, but I'm pursuing God. I come to church as one of the ways to pursue Him. I come to worship Him corporately. I come to hear His Word so it can work in me. But I know that the influences out there are, they have a lovely appearance. And I'm concerned about the church of today. I really am. In fact, the Bible says to be careful that even the elect could be deceived. Church, I want to wake us up. There is an end that is coming, and I don't know how quickly. His return could happen imminently. In fact, you need to know nothing else needs to take place before Jesus comes back. Absolutely nothing. Because his capturing away, his rapture of the church, is not conditional upon anything. He just catches his church away. Everything else has a timeline in the midst of that. But he catches church away at any time. Are you ready? My greatest desire would be that if it happened right now, every one of us would be gone. It would be the saddest moment if the rapture happened during church and people were left. Breaks my heart. Church, I don't want to play a game. I want us to go wholeheartedly after God. I'm not saying there won't be struggles and there won't be hard moments. We got to make decisions. Yesterday, I was part of a wedding. It was someone that I encountered, and they asked me to do the wedding. And I was, after encountering, meeting them, and after 6 months of counseling, I was happy to be a part of the marrying of the two. But I'll have to be honest with you. I went to the reception afterwards. And we showed up on time. And please hear me all the way out. Are you with me this morning? Give me just a few more minutes. Stay with me. Do not misinterpret what I'm about to say. But we're there and we show up on time. And it's a cocktail hour. In church, I don't drink. Yeah, they had pop and all of that. By the way, somebody didn't know, but I've been off pop for an entire year. And I'm trying to work on my own discipline in my own life. Little simple things, because I don't want stuff to dominate over me. I want Christ to have his way. But we're there. We're among people. They're drinking. And I looked at my wife, and we kind of looked at each other. It's just like, this is just not our crowd. I didn't mind being there and supporting and all of that, but I was asked, I was a pray at the meal, and it was a lot of good, godly stuff, but man, it's amazing how quickly it turned from a godly ceremony into this kind of worldly scene. And I know you say, well, you're against alcohol. Honestly, I am. And I'm going to tell you why. Not because of, well, I'll tell you this. 1 out of every 11 people who drink become alcoholics. Let me ask you, if we put us in a plane and you knew that 1 out of 11 people, when we got at 30,000 feet, they were all going to drop out of their seats, would you let them? That's what happens with people who drink alcohol. I'm being honest with you today. Why do I not drink? Because I want to live above reproach. I don't want to walk down the aisles of the grocery store, somebody see me picking up whatever and wondering how far does he go with it? So I don't go anywhere with it. Church, we've got to make choices in our life that are going to bring godly influence. You say, well, you're condemning me. I'm not condemning you. I'm not your choice maker. You are your choice maker. I just don't want the influence of the world to take over. Church, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I really wonder, are we hungry for God? I think about Pentecost in the days of old. I've been thinking about our 70th anniversary coming up and celebrating it. And as I reflect back, I'm thinking of the healings, the deliverances, those who were oppressed being free. And I'm like, that's what God wants to do in his church today. The stress level that people are living on. God wants to set you free. God wants you to find life in him. Church, I'm concerned. I really am concerned. Because I know there's a judgment coming. And I love you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I want you to hunger for God like you never have. I know some of you are about to go off to college. Some of you are in college. dare to say what the influences are there. Some of you in high school, I know it's horrific. I know it's challenging. I know you go to a Christian school. I also know that not everything's Christian in the Christian school. But where are the Christians? Where are the Christ-like people? Where is the ones who were planted by the river? Where are the trees that are producing the love? Where are the trees that are producing the compassion that this world needs? They're sitting right here. The question is, look around and be careful of what's influencing you. I want you to look inside. What are you really becoming? Me and my wife, we're, like I said earlier, we're walking through things. We're questioning things in our own home. Say, why are we having this? Why? I want to change. I don't want to become so holy that I can't connect to people. In fact, the more holy, I think the more connection there is. Because the more love I have, the more compassion I'll have. In fact, I'll catch the heart of God. Because if I get that holy, I get a good perspective on things. Church, I don't really know how to end today. I want us to sing a song. I love you, Lord. But before we sing this, I don't want you to just sing a song because this is our ending song. If you can't say that first line, don't even sing it. But if you could say, I love you, Lord. Let me explain what that means. My highest affection is for the master of my life. See, lordship takes highest priority. Love, though I don't know that we really know how yet, we're learning. But whatever my highest affection is, I love him. And then I lift my voice. Yeah, in song, but more than that, I lift it up when I'm out in the community. I unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unashamed. I do it to worship, to adore, to cherish, to give the adoration that is due his name. Oh, my soul, get happy. Rejoice. Why? Because I know its destiny. So take joy, my King, in what you hear. Because all of a sudden it begins to come out of an abundance of the heart that is full of him. And he rejoices in that. Let it be a sweet sound in your ear. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how hungry you are. I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. I already told you the next 2 weeks, and then we're going to hit August. I'm going to still talk about pursuing Christ and his presence. But I'm going to go ahead and let you know, in September, I'm going to part two of this whole series, Pursuing His Power. I want God to change us by the work of the Holy Spirit and the whole reason he sent the Holy Spirit. I want the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in his church. I want the operation of a spirit in your daily life. I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to be listening to the Spirit. I want you to have that kind of power, not because we desire it, but because Jesus said, if I go away, I will send dunamis, power, to be witnesses in this world. In church, without it, we're weak. We don't have power. We need it. So in September, you gear up. You talk about Pentecostal, you might find what Pentecost really means, at least to us. Because I want to explore and find the things of God. I want you to find them. Church, how hungry are you? Are you happy with status quo? I like pastor. He preaches to us. He has a good word. Great. I go to that church. That's good. It's wonderful. They even got an air conditioner. Who cares? What if the air quit? You go walk out? What if we had sawdust floors? Church, this means nothing. I want to take care of it because it represents how much we love God. But this doesn't represent God. You do.